Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Wendy's new Biggie Deals lets you choose whatever you're in the mood for. It's like a music mixing board of deals, and you're the producer. Go with some chill folk music with a JBC in the $4 Biggie Bite snack. Try the drum and bass of deals with a double stack in the $6 Biggie Bag. Or go full-on sandwich symphony with an $8 Biggie Bundle, the grand finale of snacking. And the best part? They all come with napkins! $4, $6, and $8 Biggie Deals how you want them. At Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.
And I'm sorry for my past support of Trump and MAGA. When I was in MAGA, the Lincoln Project was...
the devil.
Loathed and despised. And if I had met you when I was in MAGA, I would have said that you were an existential threat to our country. So I'd like to just apologize to everyone seeing this for my past MAGA support.
Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night and good luck.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the Lincoln Project Podcast. As always, I am your host, Rick Wilson, and we are delighted you joined us today. We are always honored to have your attention and your time in listening to this podcast. And because of that, we're trying to grow it as much as we can and make it as relevant to you as we can. Anybody who is listening right now, on whatever platform you're on, do me a favor, like and subscribe. Really helps build the show. I am really happy to be joined today by Rich Loges, who is the founder, the CEO, the executive director, the tentpole of an organization called Leaving MAGA. Rich formed Leaving MAGA a few years ago because he walked away from the cult. And we all have known friends and family and associates who have a really hard time walking away from the cult, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how broken it gets, no matter how distant from your values it gets. But Rich did it. He did it pretty early. So Rich, I want to welcome you to the show. And thank you for the work you've been doing for I guess it's almost 5 years now, right? Close to 5 years now. In trying to get people to leave the cult. Talk to us about your journey, how you decided to leave MAGA, and let's then branch off to some lessons for other folks.
Rick, thanks for having me. I really appreciate being here. It's good to finally meet you. And let me just open by my usual customary apology that I would like to say that I'm sorry for my past support of Trump and MAGA. When I was in MAGA, the Lincoln Project was...
the devil.
Loathed and despised.
The Lincoln Project, and I would have them change the name to the Losers Project, but it's a group of major losers. They're Republican losers.
And if I had met you when I was in MAGA, I would have said that you were an existential threat to our country. So I'd like to just apologize to everyone seeing this for my past MAGA support. My journey really started in 2015. I was very politically disillusioned. I believed that the two parties had been the same, that they failed to represent well most of the country except for the wealthy and the powerful. And even though Trump ran as a Republican, I was attracted to his outsider status without any government, military, or political experience. And admittedly, I was enticed by the idea of burning down the entire system and starting anew.
I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall. Yeah. Mark my words.
And we're going to give government back to the people.
Drain the swamp.
And I wasn't just a regular supporter of Trump. I was a grassroots activist. I worked on the campaign. I wrote part of the call script for the campaign. I showed people where to get registered to vote. I recruited people to vote for Trump, including Bernie Sanders voters. And after the election, I got deeper and deeper into the MAGA community. I became a pundit for MAGA Media. I had bylines in places like Fox and The Federalist and World Net Daily, which is the site that originated the Obama birther conspiracy. I spent my own money out of my own business to produce a podcast. It's money that went to my MAGA activism instead of to my own family. And I was unapologetically all in. You know, I spoke at Trump groups. I donated to them. I was a sponsor. There was no mistaking my support. I may not have always worn the hat or gone to every rally, but there was probably no one who was as devout a supporter of Trump and MAGA as I was. You know, and I say that with a lot of remorse and regret. And it was really in the summer of 2021 when I started to ever so slightly shift. The first accelerant to my leaving was actually not Donald Trump. It was our governor, Ron DeSantis, who platformed anti-vaxxers at a press conference when the Delta surge was ravaging the country.
Now to the latest on the coronavirus pandemic. Governor Ron DeSantis is calling for a special session. He says he wants legislation to protect workers forced by their employers to get vaccinated.
You have a lot of folks that actually believe that that decision should be theirs and that we believe in having basic medical freedom and individual choice, and that your right to earn a living should not be contingent upon COVID shots.
And kids were getting sick and were dying of COVID.
Yep.
And I'm a parent of two small children, and I didn't understand why DeSantis did that. So my doubts commenced, and I was very confused. And I did something that sounds very simple, Rick, but was very profoundly life-altering and changing for me, which was I diversified my news and information sources after DeSantis did that. And I started to objectively research what happened. For example, on January 6th, I didn't support that day, but I thought that it had been made into a bigger deal than it really was. But I realized that the president actually was culpable in trying to overturn a free and fair election.
Now it is up to Congress to confront this egregious assault on our democracy. And after this, we're going to walk down, and I'll be there with you. We're going to walk down anyone you want, but I think right here, we're going to walk down to the Capitol. And we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women. And we're probably not going to be cheering so much for some of them, because you'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength and you have to be strong.
And I spent the next year between the summer of 21 and 22 really going through a personal reckoning with a lot of personal tumult and turmoil as I came to realize that I had been lied to and that I had allowed myself to believe one lie after another. And it was on May 24, 2022, which was the day of the Uvalde, Texas school shooting, that I quietly and finally left MAGA. But there was something that had really been gnawing at me for doing it privately, because I had always been so unapologetically public in my support for Trump. I felt I needed to reciprocate that. And on August 30th of 2022, I wrote a mea culpa. And in that apology, I said that I was sorry for supporting Trump and MAGA. I renounced the movement, and I wanted to apologize to anyone I may have hurt with my words, deeds, and rhetoric. And the God's honest truth is that I never thought that anybody would care, but it turned out that people did care. And born from that apology and recounting of my story was our organization, Leaving MAGA, which we founded as a new community and a new destination for people who are leaving MAGA, who are having doubts, and then also for those friends and family of MAGA-identified close ones.
So it's an amazing story because so few people are able to make that leap from public support to public disavowal. It's a very difficult thing to do. People have a hard time with it. People who are very strong people and experienced people, I've seen in the MAGA world, have been stuck in that rut. They find it harder sometimes to depart it than people who finally woke up one day and said,
they're not helping us. They're not doing, this is not what we were promised. And you had that experience of having been a publicly facing person on this, and made that turn. I think what you learned, and I think you've talked about this a bit, is the cult-like aspect of MAGA that really has infected it for 10 years now makes people who you used to be friends with in the MAGA movement, they transform very quickly. They become enemies. They become, not because of you, because of them. They have to treat you like a danger, like an outlier, like a criminal, whatever the phrase you want to use. Talk to us about how hard it is for everyday folks who are mentally done with Trump, mentally done with MAGA, to still take that big leap.
You know, when I was in MAGA, Rick, anybody who was not with us was considered against us and was considered an existential threat to our life, our livelihood, our family, and our country.
Republicans are wonderful people, but we're dealing with very sick individuals. The Democrats are sick. There's something wrong. They're like terrorists. I think if Democrats took control of the Congress, I think that, and let's say took control of the country, I think that this country's finished. These people are sick. But this is a group of people, a large group of people, larger than people think, but it's a very demonic party.
And it didn't matter whether you were a Democrat or a liberal or a progressive, or you were a Rick Wilson or an Adam Kinzinger or Liz Cheney, and whether if you were not 100% with us, you were considered 100% against us.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
What MAGA provided for me, and it provides for its adherents now, is a political community. It was something that I did not have before Trump came on the scene, and I found myself meeting fellow MAGA compatriots when I was starting to work on the campaign, and my devotion started to build, that you had a sense of camaraderie and feelings of gathering and belonging. And there was a second family I developed. And as embarrassed as I am to admit this, that second family oftentimes took precedence over my own blood family. And I neglected at times my duties as a parent, as a husband, and as a business owner because of my MAGA obsession. So MAGA was exhilarating for me. But that was until it wasn't. And it was after leaving MAGA that I came to realize that I had been in these perpetual states of desperation and despair and rage and panic and fear and paranoia. And I realized that I was addicted to the rage. Something that we do as part of our work every Tuesday night, we have free and open support groups for friends and family of those still in the thrall of MAGA. And we talk about in these support groups that there is an actual dopamine-infused addiction to rage. And I was always angry at somebody or something. And forget about taking a day off from MAGA. I obsessively never took an hour off because I believed that I was embroiled in this good versus evil political battle where you either crush your political opponents or they crush you. And I would, as a word of advice to those out there seeing this who have friends and relatives in MAGA, which I imagine is probably most of the audience, I know that it's a really big ask, but we have to just remain patient because I believe that there are more people than we realize in MAGA who are starting to privately leave, who are starting to quietly have doubts. And I think that these cracks and these chasms are forming. And I think that the president knows that these schisms are widening. And it's one of the reasons I think explains his increasingly erratic behavior, which is saying something because his behavior has been erratic since he came on the political scene. But I think that he knows that a lot of his broken promises, whether it's not lowering the cost of goods or this war of choice in Iran, it's giving pause to a lot of MAGA supporters. And something that we just embarked on is a billboard tour across the country. We've got billboards in Des Moines, in Lancaster, we've got in Austin, we've got billboards going up in Florida near Mar-a-Lago next month. And the billboard message is, having doubts, you're not alone. So anyone who's seeing this, who's in MAGA right now, who is questioning their belief system, I want them to know that I have been where you are and that it's okay to change your mind. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a show of strength, evolution, and maturation to acknowledge when we were wrong and to admit that we made a mistake.
There have been three things in my mind that have divided the base from Trump and divided the MAGA movement very, very severely. I think the first was Epstein. And Epstein has been a dividing issue because a lot of people who came into MAGA in 2016 really believed there was this global conspiracy of cannibal child sex predators run by Hillary Clinton in a pizza restaurant in D.C. I think Epstein really, really harmed Trump's ability to keep part of the base glued together. Not just the QAnoners, not just the conspiracy people, but I think that was a broader thing. And I want to get your take on all three of these. So the second thing I think that's really harmed him is the tariff war has really wrecked the economy. And it's wrecked it harder in places where Trump has some of the most intense support, rural communities around the country, the farm community, the construction workers, the truckers, all these people that were very dedicated to Trump and MAGA, I think they're taking this right in the teeth. And the third thing, as you said, this is a war of choice in Iran. That was another key promise because a lot of folks in MAGA thought, well, I served in Iraq and Afghanistan and it sucked. It was horrible and it did no good. And these were bad wars. I don't want my kid going to a bad war. And now they see Iran, I think, as a really bad idea of a war. So talk to me about how those three things you think are affecting the MAGA base as it is today.
Well, I think all three of those issues, Rick, what we can find, the leitmotif across them is that Trump lied about all of them.
Yes.
I did a video testimonial for Kamala's campaign at the DNC convention.
Yep.
And in the video, I said that Trump's toxic superpower is lying.
My name is Rich Logis. I live in Florida. And until 2 years ago, I was a full-fledged member of MAGA. I believe Trump. I was a MAGA pundit. I had my own podcast. I was in a state of panic, terrified that Democrats were destroying our country. When the pandemic hit, we needed leadership, but we were given almost nothing. It was a major betrayal to the country. So I finally stepped outside the MAGA echo chamber. I stopped listening to what Trump said and looked around with my own eyes. And I realized he had been lying about pretty much everything. Lying is Trump's toxic superpower. He's ripped apart families, communities, our whole country. So this is my message to all the Republicans and independents who are watching. People like me who voted for and believed in Trump. I made a grave mistake, but it's never too late to change your mind. You don't need to agree with everything you hear tonight to do what is right. We need to be able to trust our leaders. That's why I'm all in for Kamala Harris.
And it doesn't matter whether it's a small, medium, or big issue. There is nothing that the president will not lie about. And I know that all politicians prevaricate and they have truth issues and they exaggerate. And at times, yes, they lie, but no one does it with the breadth, depth, and frequency at which the president does it. And if you look at the Epstein files, for example, you know, the president campaigned on a promise of releasing all these files so we can know exactly who was complicit in all of the sex trafficking that Epstein oversaw.
It's just very strange for a lot of people that the list of clients that went to the island has not been made public.
Yeah. It's very interesting, isn't it? Probably will be, by the way.
Probably. So if you're able to, you'll be...
Yeah, I'd certainly take a look at it. Now, Kennedy's interesting because it's so many years ago. You know, they do that for danger, too, because, you know, it endangers certain people, et cetera, et cetera. So Kennedy is very different from the Epstein thing. But yeah, I'd be inclined to do the Epstein. I'd have no problem with it.
And then the president backtracks on that. And I think, just like with tariffs, where he said that it was going to help our country economically, or the war of choice in Iran, which he said we obliterated the nuclear capabilities, but then we had to wage war because the nuclear capabilities were still intact. Each one of those issues, there's been a falsehood about it. And for those who are in MAGA, I think if they start to conclude that Trump is lying about one issue, then what else is it that he might be lying about? Because in order to truly leave MAGA, Rick, there's actually a three-step process that we outline. And the first step of it is it's not enough to just distance oneself from the president. You have to renounce the lies, falsehoods, and conspiracy theories of MAGA politics. The second part is you have to apologize and take responsibility for our past words, deeds, and rhetoric. And then the third part, which is also as equally important as the other two, is that we have to build up rather than tear down democracy. And the way that we define that is we make the continued case that we agree on issues as Americans more than we disagree. And while I am not saying this is a self-defense, and I'm not saying it to defend anyone else's ignorance, I do think a lot of people in MAGA deep down are good people who have been led astray, and they've had their fears and their concerns exploited and manipulated by Trump and MAGA media and MAGA influencers. And my story, I'd like to think for others seeing it, is a cautionary tale to show that all of us are susceptible and vulnerable to being influenced. And if there's something that right-wing MAGA media has proven, it's that it's efficacious, it's effective, it's disciplined, whether we're talking about the Foxes of America or, for example, Breitbart, which is a site that I lived on when I was in MAGA. I consumed that site in the comments section more than any other
one. Sure.
So I do think that right now there is a shift that's happening. I wish that it were happening more rapidly, but I think the billboards that we've done and the kind of response we've received, we're now starting to get people contacting us saying, I'm in MAGA, please help me. So it's happening, and these cracks are widening.
So you've got these support groups that you do, as you mentioned a few minutes ago. I'm fascinated by that because I imagine it was for a long time more of a trickle, and now I think it's probably becoming more of a flood. There are a lot of people in the polling we're seeing who are breaking away from Trump. So when someone comes to you and says, I'm stuck, how do I get out of this? What's their main question? Is it like, how do I deal with my family? Who do I talk to? How do they approach it when they come to you? Because I think that process would really help people understand, like, if we've got listeners here who are MAGA listeners, and we do have some, they have a lot of conservatives. I think one thing that they need to hear from you is, you know, you're not trying to convert them to something politically. You're just trying to get them out of something that's killing them.
You know, leaving MAGA has no ideological purity test. Anyone who joins our community, they don't have to become a Democrat or liberal or progressive. And I've had conversations with people who are right-leaning, who do not want to vote Democratic, but are disgusted with Trump. And what I tell them is, I try to offer some advice, which is that our system is flawed. I was all about taking down the two-party system at one time, but the fact is that that's our system and we need to work within it. And I try to provide some guidance to those who come to us who are disenchanted and say to them that we need to find a landing place where we can build up democracy. I thought, Rick, that the way to save democracy was to destroy it. And I realized that it's much easier to tear something down than it is to build it up. So anyone who's in MAGA now who is hearing this, I want them to know that I can very much relate to their feelings of disillusionment with our politics. And I can relate to it because it was my entree into MAGA. But we have to also recognize that the Trump administration's actions are a threat to our democracy and our democratic institutions, lowercase d. And we need to think about not just the midterms, not just 28, but how do we get people more civically involved in building up our democracy rather than trying to burn it to the ground, which was the appeal for me with Trump. You know, Trump's modus operandi is to create chaos and then try to provide a solution and dismantle institutions along the way. And that's really, those are his advisors who are really behind all of that. And so for those who might hear this, who are MAGA, I would encourage them to go and read the stories of our leaders at our website at weavingmaga.org, of all the people who went on a similar odyssey as I did. And we talk in our support groups about how we cannot change another person. I think that we all would like to believe that we can and that we have powers of persuasion, but a change can only come from the individual. It only comes from within. Yeah. And we focus a lot on language of nonviolence and self-care. And a lot of people come to our support groups, they're grieving and mourning the losses of their relationships.
Sure.
But what we encourage them to do is to reinitiate contact with their MAGA friends and relatives and say to them that if they ever have doubts, if they're ever questioning their beliefs, that they can turn to them as a friendly ear. And something else that they can do for those who might be willing is what we call information bartering, which is I'll read something from a MAGA person if the MAGA person will read or watch something that we will provide them. So it's a way to expand their information aperture and just widen it ever so slightly. Diversifying news and information was so crucial to my own epiphany, which I like to paraphrase Hemingway on in saying that it happened gradually and then suddenly all at once. And I think that's how people are going to leave MAGA around us. It's going to happen slowly and then rapidly and quickly all at once.
You know, you made an interesting point. You said how submerged you were in the Breitbart model, which was built to be highly adversarial, built to hate both parties in a way and frame a guy like Trump as the only way to save the country. Their readership has collapsed dramatically in the last year. Their numbers are about a tenth of what they once were. Fox is still the big dog, though, in shaping the views and opinions of folks in the MAGA space. How do you get them to ease off of Fox? Because I look at that as like the number one normative force in keeping them in MAGA.
So I recently published a memoir. It's entitled One Betrayal Too Many, Why I Left MAGA. And people can get information about it at our website. Something that I write about in the memoir is a they. And the they are these enemies who are out in the open, who are trying to take our guns and trying to indoctrinate our children in the public schools and trying to replace white people with brown people and foreigners. It's Democrats and liberals and progressives trying to transform America into a communist or socialist country. And sure, we can find individual examples of those happening, but the fact is, Rick, there is no they. It's imaginary. But in MAGA, I believe that there was a devilish Democrat behind every single tree who was trying to abridge my rights and trying to inculcate my children into Marxism. And that's what Fox does, is it creates an environment for its viewers of fear and that rage. And it keeps its viewers addicted to fear and rage. And I think that
I call it the catalog of imaginary demons.
And you know, that who don't exist. They are imaginary. But at one time I believed that they were real until I started to realize that I had created a persona that was entirely buttressed by lies, falsehoods, and conspiracy theories. And
right.
And I think with those who watch Fox, we need to not try to change their minds, but we need to show them that what Fox does is it takes one individual example of something and tries to make it into a mass nationwide epidemic. And the fact is that
sure.
the Fox stories don't hold up under scrutiny because
eating the dogs and cats, you know, that sort of
one amongst, you know, myriad lies that we see come out of MAGA media and influencers. And it's very lucrative to keep people addicted to fear and rage. And Fox has sure. mastered that model, and others just follow along, whether it's the Candace Owenses or the Tucker Carlsons or the Nick Fuenteses. You know, they're all positioning themselves for whatever they think comes after MAGA. But the fact is that MAGA, unfortunately, is going to remain, which I think makes our work at Leaving MAGA even more crucial. Yeah. I believe that we're at the vanguard of trying to create this new community yeah. for people when they finally realize that MAGA does not comport with their values.
You know, as I watch Trump's approval rating collapse, I'm watching how it's a logical collapse. The behavioral Republicans who were like, I don't like Trump, but I'm going to vote Republican because I always vote Republican. That's what I was raised to do. They're gone. They're out. They're your people. There's a cohort now in rural America of farmers, ranchers, timber folks, truckers, people in the broader ag sector who the combination of the tariffs and the immigration stuff has absolutely destroyed their lives and wrecked their businesses, wrecked their farms. And now those suburban Republicans that they're like, oh yeah, yeah, Trump's crazy, but I'll get a tax cut out of it. Trump's a wild man, but he won't be as bad as Hillary. I think those people are the biggest new group for you to snatch up at this point. I think they're certainly the people the Lincoln Project persuades all the time. And they're certainly the kind of people who I think their level of having had enough of the show is rising very quickly now, because his poll numbers are collapsing. His job performance numbers are absolutely abysmal. I think it's easier for you to pull some of those across and just say, yeah, we were all fooled for a while. He had us all for a while. So I think you're going to see more people in that space rather than fewer. I think you're at the beginning of the surge out of MAGA rather than the end. There will always be a MAGA element, but it's not going to be 50% of the Republican Party anymore. It's going to be much less.
And, you know, I should say, Rick, that it was a fantasy of ours when I was in MAGA to kill off the Republican Party and remake it into a MAGA party. And now, you know, we have two major parties, the Democratic Party and the MAGA mm-hmm. party. It's only a Republican Party in name.
Oh, yeah, they stole the branding and the logo, but other than that, it's not conservative anymore.
And the pre-Trump GOP is over. And I think that there are some Republicans and conservatives who feel like that it can somehow be restored,
wrong.
But it's not going to be. And then, of course, there's the fastest growing voting bloc in the country, which are independents,
yep.
of which I am. Here in Florida, we have something, for those watching, we have something called NPA, no party affiliated.
I'm here too. Yep.
Yep. Same with me. I'm an NPA voter. And now, full disclosure, I did vote Democratic in November of 24. And because I'm really left with no other choice, good choice is I will continue to vote Democratic. But eventually we will see where the center right contingent of America, where they start to land, because there's really two options they have if they're disgusted with Trump yeah. and MAGA. It's either to vote Democratic or it's to stay home. Or I guess they could vote third party, which in many states is just helping the
right.
Republican
that,
part.
That
well,
functionally helps
the MAGA
elect
party.
Republicans in most states, and certainly yeah. most southern states. I think that's one of the things, and I'm a fifth generation Florida guy. You know, I've been here. I've lived other places, but I born and raised here. And I was one of the guys who in the 90s helped turn Florida red. And it wasn't driven by, it was driven by things like economic liberty and lower taxes and strong national defense and all that stuff. But I feel like so much of this is wrapped up in Trump himself, in Trump qua Trump, as they say in Latin, that when he goes, there will be a gap where some of these people who are functional Republican voters right now are going to look at, okay, maybe the Democratic Party's not as crazy as Fox told me it was. And there may be a rise of a center-right party in this country eventually that does want to get back to that sort of more Reaganite, Bush 41 vision of the world. It's a long way between here and there, but I think what you're seeing is that the illusion that MAGA was every conservative voter in the country is breaking apart kind of quickly.
Well, when I was working on Kamala's campaign, I was a Florida co-chair for Republicans for Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I often conversed with other Democrats about is that other Democrats I met, they wanted a more sane Republican conservative party. There were not Democrats I met who said, let's have a uniparty, you know, let's have a political monopoly, which is the exact opposite of what we thought in MAGA, because we wanted a uniparty. You know, it was our belief that we were on the right side of history. We were the real Americans, and that everybody who was against us, they were the fake Americans on the wrong side of history. You know, if you were a Democratic voting Jew, you were not a real Jew.
And any Jewish person that votes for a Democrat or votes for Biden should have their head examined.
If you were a Democratic voting Christian, you weren't a real Christian.
Christians and Americans of faith are being persecuted like nothing this nation has ever seen before. Catholics, you cannot vote for the Democrats. You cannot even think about voting for Biden.
And that militant way of thinking, it really self-traumatizes us into this belief that our fellow countrymen and women pose this domestic threat to everything that we hold good and holy in our country. And who benefits from that? You know, that's always a question of who benefits from that. And I help the president divide the country. It's why I apologize everywhere I go, because I was culpable and complicit in assisting the president in amplifying conspiracy theories. And what I realized about Trump and the Republican Party is that they deemed acceptable avoidable deaths, suffering, and trauma. And they justified politically motivated violence, whether we're talking about Charlottesville or the pandemic or January 6th or the stolen election lies or mass shootings. There is this acceptance of avoidable deaths, trauma, and suffering. And I don't think most Republicans accept that. I don't think that's true of most Republicans, but it is true of Trump and this current MAGA party. And I think that, you know, as we come into America 250, there are a lot of uncomfortable questions we need to ask ourselves as a nation, which is what would the framers think about America right now if they were alive? You know, what would they think about, you know, what would they say? What would Thomas Jefferson say about unlimited money in politics? You know, what would John Adams say about elected officials choosing their own voters rather than voters choosing their elected officials? And I think that these questions are ones that are necessary for us to ask as a country as we come into the celebration. And we should celebrate our 250th 100%. Birthday to remain a quarter of a millennium in existence.
It's kind of a big deal. It
really is. And what we've seen is that we have seen America weakened as a result of the Trump administration. We weren't as weak in the first time around because there were people around him who served as bulwarks and safeguards.
Not anymore. Rich Lowe, I want to thank you so very much for coming on the Lincoln Project podcast today. It really means a lot to me, the work you do, the outreach you've created for folks across this country who do want to leave MAGA. The group is Leaving MAGA. They're a nonprofit. They support de-radicalization of former Trump supporters, folks. Check them out. Rich, where can they find you on social media and on the website?
Yeah, thank you. People can visit us at leavingmaga.org and follow our socials there, our newsletter. We've got also our testimonials of other leaders who left. I would really encourage people to take time and read them. I believe people will find them eye-opening, enlightening, and very inspirational. So, and there's a way to reach out to us and contact us that way at leavingmaga.org.
Rich is also the author of One Betrayal Too Many, Why I Left MAGA. Check it out. Rich, thank you again for coming on the Lincoln Project podcast. Folks, you can catch me every week on a bewildering variety of platforms and podcasts. On Tuesday nights, I am on the Strategy Session. On Thursday nights, I am on The Breakdown. On Fridays, I am on Behind the Numbers with Andrew Wilson, America's only father and son polling program, and proud to say the number one father and son polling program in the entire world, because there, I don't think, are anymore. But we love it every day. You guys join us. We have a great time. That'll be tomorrow. You can also catch me on Fridays in the Elephant in the Room podcast, which is about a 15-minute thing where we peel back the layers of what's going on in the political economy of today. And finally, on Sundays, I'm on with Molly Jong Fast on Fast Politics. You can also check me out on my Substack, Against All Enemies. Look forward to talking to you folks again soon. And thank you very much for listening. Do me a big favor, like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
The Lincoln Project Podcast is a Lincoln Project production. Executive produced by Whitney Hayes, Ben Howe, and Joey Wartner-Cheney. Edited by Riley Main. Hey, folks, if you want to support the Lincoln Project's work against Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and this MAGA craziness, go to action.lincolnproject.us/helplp. If you'd like to get in touch or have suggestions for a guest or a show topic, or just want to say hi, our email is podcast@lincolnproject.us. For our MAGA friends, please, no more nudes. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Good night, and good luck.